I don't know if I should have watched this show as a child. My parents didn't like it because of some of the immodesties that were in it, but we went to my grandparents' house, and when my granddad turned it on, rather than accusing my granddad of being less than holy, they decided not to make a big deal out of it. But I can always remember on the Dukes of Hazzard when Roscoe P. Coltrane had the Dukes in his sight, and he would say, "Ooh, I got those Duke boys in my sights. We are in hot pursuit." And then he would give chase, and they would make some impossible jump across a river that no car could ever make, hit their horn that whistled Dixie, wave their hand, and take off, and Roscoe would be left on the other side, fussing and fuming. Hot pursuit. This morning we looked at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 that explains to us that we need to pursue holiness without which no one will see the Lord. And we talked about some things that are implied by that. We recognized, of course, that that means that holiness needs to be our goal, but not just any kind of goal, not a goal that gets added in among all the other goals, but really a governing and controlling, domineering, dominating kind of goal that takes over our entire lives. And then we wrapped up by recognizing that we could trust in God who is with us, who is sanctifying us, who is doing the work to make us holy. But in the midst of that, we also pointed out that one of the things that that means is holiness is not something that will happen by accident. If we strive for holiness, just the mere fact that he uses words like pursue and strive, depending on your translation, our recognition that holiness is not going to happen accidentally. I'd like for us to unpack that idea just a little bit more. I'd like for us to think about that word pursuit just all by itself and what that means and some practical implications for us if we want to pursue holiness, if we want to be in hot pursuit of holiness, if we want to be in a holy pursuit. There are some things that we need to learn and follow and practice. So tonight I'd like for us to drill down on that idea. It's not going to happen naturally. It's not going to happen from following the flow. It's not going to happen from just going along with the latest cultural fads. It's going to take work and action. I'd like for us to consider what it's going to take if we want to be in holy pursuit. Before we examine that, would you bow with me, please? Almighty God and Father in heaven, we lift you up as the author of holiness, as the example of holiness, as the provider of holiness, as the judge of holiness. You are the great holy God, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come, who created all things, and by your word all things are sustained. And by your word all things that come to an end will come to an end. Father, we praise you and honor you, and we pray that what we are doing here tonight lifts you up, magnifies you, sets you apart, and sanctifies you. And Father, we pray that you would sanctify us, set us apart for your use, for your holy use, and help us to pursue that holiness. Father, we're so thankful that you allow this, that you have sent your Son to die for us so that we can pursue holiness. And we pray that you will help us and strengthen us and discipline us to make that our overarching goal, our governing principle in our life. Help us this year as we focus on that idea. But not only in this year, that what we do today and throughout this coming year will be a continuation, and if not a continuation, a start of a lifetime of pursuing holiness and pursuing you. Father, be with us tonight and help us to bring you glory in this time together. We love you, Father. And we thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. When the Hebrew writer talks about what we're doing here as a pursuit, I think there are four main things that we need to put into our lives, that we need to apply to our lives. The fact is, if it's going to be a pursuit, The first thing we have to have is a passion for holiness. We have to make sure that holiness is our passion. We will not pursue holiness if we don't want holiness. If we don't love the idea of holiness, if we don't long for it above all other things, we're not going to pursue holiness. The reality is, this is something that's going to be difficult. We said already, it's not going to be natural. It's not going to be just following the path of least resistance. There are a lot of things that we desire. But if our level of desire is not high on a matter, once we hit obstacles and hindrances and problems that come in the way, we let those things go by the wayside. And that's what's going to happen with holiness unless our desire is large. Unless we have a passion for holiness. And so my question to you is, do you want holiness? Now, before you answer that quickly, offhandedly, I know we're here in a church assembly and we all know what the answer to that is. We all know. Kind of reminds me the old preacher story about the kid in Bible class where the teacher was just trying to ask a question and she said, okay, I'm thinking of an animal. It's furry, it's gray, it collects nuts, it's got a fluffy tail. And the kid in his mind says, well, that sounds like a squirrel to me, but this is Bible class. So, Jesus? We know what the Bible class answer is. We know what the in the church assembly answer is. If I ask you, do you want holiness? I know that our automatic response, well, of course I want holiness. Obviously, I'm supposed to want holiness. But let me ask you, do you want holiness? Think about this, because there was a time when I recognized that what I wanted was not holiness. Now, don't get me wrong. What I wanted was heaven. I want heaven. And Lord, what I'll do is I'll pursue as much holiness as you require so that I can have heaven. And as we talked about this morning, that puts us in that kind of bartering spot with God. God, I want heaven, and so I need to know how much holiness do I really have in order to get to heaven? The struggle is that's not what we're talking about here. And that won't work. It is true that when we have the holiness that Hebrews 12:14 says, we'll see God. That's heaven, by the way. But I am concerned that if what we place as our ultimate goal is heaven, we won't have the holiness and therefore won't have heaven either. What is it that you want? Do you want just enough holiness to get in, but please let me have some of this fun down here that Satan is putting out ahead of me? Boy, some of these sins that you, God, are saying I really shouldn't do, very pleasurable, very fun. I'd like to participate in some of those. How far can I go in that and you'll still let me into heaven? Hebrews 12:14 does not say pursue peace with everyone and heaven without which you won't see the Lord. It says pursue holiness. We recognize in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24 this morning the connection between righteousness and holiness that said that new self is created in the image of God in righteousness and holiness. Look in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, as Jesus began his Sermon on the Mount, as he provides those short, pithy little statements of blessing, what we often call the Beatitudes. In Matthew chapter 5, and verse 6, he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Listen to what he's describing, that righteousness connected to holiness. What is it that we're hungry for? Are we hungry for righteousness? Are we hungry for holiness? Because if we're not hungry for it, if it's not something we want so much, man, have you ever said that? I want that so much, I can almost taste it. You ever said that? I just almost taste it. I want holiness so much. Man, I can just almost taste it. I am hungry for holiness. If this pursuit of holiness is going to govern our lives, it's not going to happen accidentally. We've got to want it. It has to become our passion. But we need to understand that if we long for this holiness, if we're going to pursue holiness, if we're going to be in a holy pursuit, not only must we make holiness our passion, but we've got to make this pursuit our purpose. It's got to be something that we do on purpose. It's going to take purpose. I have to purpose in my heart that what I am going to do is put holiness above all other things, because it's not going to come naturally. The natural man is not going to pursue holiness in just his natural state. I've got to actively decide that holiness is the thing that I'm going to be pursuing today. I've got a purpose in my heart that when I make my choices today, holiness is going to be the thing that governs these choices. Look in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, again in this passage, he doesn't use the word holiness, but that concept of righteousness, which goes along with holiness. Listen to what he says beginning in verse 7. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Do you hear Paul's language? Pressing on. This is my goal. He's got a purpose to pursue righteousness and holiness. And as he's considering his all the things that he's involved in, he's trying to figure out, is this thing going to help me in that pursuit or is not? And he said, everything that's not going to help me in that, I cut it off. I get rid of those conflicting purposes, those competing purposes, those things that are going to hinder me from the goal, from my passion of holiness. I'm going to cut those things off. I'm going to remove those from my life because I don't want to be involved in something that's not going to help me be holy. The struggle, of course, is if our passion is just getting to heaven, but hey, I still want to be involved in some of these things down here, we start getting into that barter with God. How much of it do I really have to cut off, Lord? But if holiness is my passion, I just want to find out whatever it is that's going to get in the way, I'm going to cut that off. Competing purposes. Let's get down to brass tacks. As I was preparing this sermon, thinking in my own life, what are some places where I need to be more diligent in thinking about this? And I'll tell you, just a very simple place I've realized. Television. I think about television. I think about it in two ways. As I think about this purpose, I've realized, and I think I mentioned this in a sermon a few weeks ago, I've realized that very easily what I do is I get wrapped up into a story, and then I start making excuses for some of the things they start adding into the shows that I know that's not helping me with my holiness. That's hindering my holiness. I know I saw that thing. And then I start justifying. Well, it was really quick. I mean, it wasn't pornography. You know, it was really quick. I can look away. I can skip it. I start justifying all those kind of things. And it's amazing how on TV shows, you ever notice they always they suck you in on the first episode and they rarely have all that bad stuff that first season. Not as much of it. But boy, you start moving. Now that they've got you sucked in, they start adding in more and more. Anybody ever else notice that? Oh, it drives me nuts. But boy, inch by inch, get kind of sucked into it. And of course, then there's the cliffhanger and I can justify. Instead of asking my question, is this helping my holiness or is it hindering it? Is it hindering the holiness? And the second problem is just the amount of time. Netflix, it's a blessing and a curse. Get rid of the commercials, but you've got the next episode right up on cue. They had the cliffhanger ending, and instead of saying, man, I don't have time for this now, I need to move on, it's like, I can watch it. I got to find out what happens next to whichever character. And the next thing I know, what was supposed to be a 45-minute break at the end of the day, there's just supposed to kind of be recreation and entertainment and then move on, ends up being 3 and 4 hours and getting to bed late and now having trouble getting up in the morning. And you know what that is? That's a hindrance. Recreation and entertainment are good when they're kept in their proper perspective. And I know I have to ask the question, what's my purpose here? As I'm watching this, I've got some competing purposes going on, and I've got to make sure that the governing purpose is holiness. Maybe that's not your competing purpose. Maybe you've got some other issue in your life that struggles and competes with that purpose of holiness. The thing that what we need to recognize is that it's going to take purpose. We have to make purposeful choices. What's the purpose in what I'm doing right now? Is it promoting holiness or is it hindering holiness? Because when he tells us to pursue holiness, when we're in holy pursuit, we're going to have to do it on purpose or it's not going to happen. We need to understand that because he uses the term pursuit, this is not a passive approach to holiness. This is something that has to be very active. Holiness has to be put into practice. Practicing holiness. Actively involved in those things that are holiness. I can't help but think about Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, where the Hebrew writer says that solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Holiness is something we must practice. We must actively pursue it. If we just sit back and hope that holiness is going to kind of overtake us at some point, that's not ever going to happen. Yes, God is working holiness in us. He is sanctifying us, and he has sent his son Jesus to die on the cross so that he can sanctify us. Absolutely. And we're going to talk throughout this year about God's involvement and his purchase of us. But we must understand that here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, that God does not foist holiness on anybody who is not willing to cooperate with him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, Paul recorded this. 2 Corinthians 7, 1, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of the Lord. Your translation may even say perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Having what promises? What promises is he talking about? He's talking about the promise that's mentioned back in verse 16 of chapter 6. God, as he promised Israel, I'll make my dwelling among them and I'll walk among them and I'll be their God and they shall be my people. What Paul is saying is because God has promised that, because God has promised, I will dwell with them. God has promised that he will dwell with us. He says, because we have that promise, we've got to lay off every defilement of the body and spirit. We need to put those things aside. And we need to complete holiness. You understand that that's active. That's something that God has asked of us. He's asking us to work with him in our holiness. We mentioned it this morning, but let's be reminded of what it says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Why should I work? Because God is working. Why do I put holiness into practice? Because God is sanctifying me, because God is promising to establish me and to make me holy in his sight. Our work and our practice and our action matters because God is working. You know, it's interesting today in our culture, there seems to be this idea when you start talking about God's work, folks automatically think that what that means we're saying is that we don't do anything. I think it's sad. But oftentimes what we hear from brethren is, I know that we're saved by grace, but We've still got to work. We need to change a word in that. I know that we're saved by grace. Therefore, I need to work. God is saving me. And because God is saving me, the work that I do really does matter. My practice, my action matters. If Jesus didn't go to the cross, it would be pointless. We need to understand that the pursuit of holiness is something that must be put into practice. It's active. And we need to take that action. If we want to pursue holiness, we've got to want it. It's got to be our passion. If we want to pursue holiness, we need to understand it's not going to happen naturally or accidentally. So we've got to make it our purpose. And if we want to pursue holiness, we need to understand that it's not passive. We have to put it into active practice. And finally, when he says pursue, when he says strive, it points out that we need to persevere. The holy pursuit takes perseverance. There in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 is where we've honed in on. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. But look back up in verse 3. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3, we have the Hebrew writer talking about our Lord and Savior. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. You know, isn't that interesting? Just kind of as a side note. That he doesn't say, in your struggle against the sinners around you, you haven't resisted to the shedding of blood. He says, in your struggle against sin. Now, I tell you what, I wonder how much better off we'd be if we would remember that our struggle is with sin and not with the sinners around us. We're getting so bent out of shape about all the sin that's in the world around us. And I think we sometimes forget that this is about our own sin that God is saving us from and helping us overcome. That's where our main struggle is. But when we struggle against sin, there are going to be obstacles. There's going to be hindrances. It says, did you recognize all that Jesus endured from sinners and hostility against himself? Don't grow weary and faint-hearted. When we struggle against sin, when we're saying that what I want to do is pursue holiness, Satan is going to pull out enemies and obstacles from the woodworks. It's going to come to us from every direction. It's going to come from our culture and our society. It is going to come from the sinners around us. Sadly, sometimes it's even going to come from our brethren. But he says, don't grow weary or faint-hearted. It takes perseverance. The pursuit of holiness is easy when there's nothing coming against us. But we need to understand that holiness is against the grain. It's against the world. It's against society and against our culture. And it has always been that way. This is not new. We're fretting and running around worried because, man, our culture used to be holy. No, it didn't. The world was never holy. I mean, I get it that we live in a nation that seemed to have more focus on Scripture. But that's never been the case. And when folks are opposed to us and against us, it's harder to pursue holiness. And so what it's going to take is some perseverance, some stick-to-itiveness. It's going to take a commitment that says, holiness is my goal, and I'm sticking with it. As we said this morning, if I mess up, that doesn't mean I have to give up. I'm going to persevere. And if Satan knocks us down, and if some hindrance or obstacle gets in the way, and we set our cross down, what do? Pick it back up again. Turn to the Lord. As Peter, when his faith diminished and he began to sink, instead of turning around and trying to swim back to the boat, we cry out to the Lord, save me. I want to be holy, and I know that the only way for that to happen is to stay in you. To hang on to you, to pursue it by you. And even if we have to resist to bloodshed, I'd rather shed blood than shed my Savior. I'd rather hang on to you. That's where we need to be. If we're going to be in hot pursuit of holiness, if we're going to be in holy pursuit, we need to understand that means some things. It means having a passion for holiness. It means making holiness our purpose. It means putting it into practice. And it means that when the obstacles and the hindrances and the enemies come out of the woodworks, we decide to persevere and continue on, steadfast in the Lord, because we know He's working for us. He's not given up on us. Let us not give up on Him. How are you doing with that? If you're going to be using a songbook tonight, would you pull that out now, please? Otherwise, the lyrics will be on the screen behind us, behind me. Number 625 is the number Zion's call. 625. Zion's call sweetly rings over land and sea, bidding us to come to Him. Why? Because God wants us to be holy. God looked down on the world and He saw us in sin and ungodliness and in weakness. And instead of saying, "Man, I wanted them to be holy, what's wrong with them? Zap." He says, "I want them to be holy. I know what I'll do. I'll send my holy Son down there, and He'll sacrifice Himself for them. And that'll set them free to pursue holiness." Would you like to be set free to pursue holiness? Have you been? Do you need help recommitting to that perseverance? I don't know what you're facing, but look, if perseverance is a part of it, I know that you're facing attacks. If you need help, if you need the support of the congregation, doesn't mean you're a bad person. I mean, if you've got some struggle, if you've got some temptation that's plaguing you, doesn't mean you're a bad person. It really just means you're a person. But God has put us here together so that we can help one another with that. If there's some place where we can help you in this pursuit of holiness, or if you'd like to start pursuing holiness, whatever we can do to help, won't you come forward right now as we stand and sing?